Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I'm Melissa. I've been doing good for the last few weeks, on point, on time, ready, prepared to share, and then today I relapsed. It was easy enough to do. I started off late, leaving home. I had to make a couple of stops, and then I was delayed in thinking. My mind was not in the same state that it normally is in when I call in, so I could not think of the number, but here I am. Talk with Trinity, a show dedicated to education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enoch DeBerry. I am a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I am a licensed professional counselor associate, and I long for the day to be able to drop that A off and to be able to say I am a licensed professional counselor, licensed and capable of working with individuals who have mental health disorders, who also maybe have substance use disorders and are in recovery and who may need some focus or greater focus on relapse prevention. However, before we get started into our morning's discussion, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We just want to say thank you. We just want to praise you. We just want to give you honor and glory. We just want to acknowledge that you are the head of us. You are our provider. You are our protector. You are our keeper. You are who we need, the beginning and the end. And dear Heavenly Father, as we go forward in this discussion, please allow it to go into someone's home, into someone's heart, into someone's mind, and that they will be left better than they are now. And dear Heavenly Father, as we travel throughout our day, continue to give us opportunities for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your instructions. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I am Melissa, Talk with Trinity. This show, I've done 126 episodes. I didn't keep count, nor did I celebrate the 100th. And I didn't go into doing it, having a show on the radio or on Blog Talk Radio. I didn't sit down one day and say, you know what, I think that this is going to be my plan. If you listen to some of the earlier episodes, I'm not really sure. I need to listen to them myself. But I didn't really have a format, and I've tried to have a format, but I didn't really have a format. I didn't really have, a number of this is what I'm going to do. I didn't really have an outline. I did an interview. I've done a couple of interviews, actually. I've done one on Rejoice at one point. And when I did it, I had people to call in, and I had a list of questions that they needed to ask me as far as being a counselor. I'm not sure how I ended up on that. I met somebody. They thought it was a good idea that I came on to their program, and I did. I never knew that every good turn deserves another one. I would have individuals that I would want to call in so that it wouldn't just be kind of talking into the air, but nevertheless. And then I did I forgot what the name of it was, but it was dealing with, it was a divorce lawyer, and I guess it was their marketing, and the name is escaping me, but we were dealing with addiction and the family. And just wanted to let people know, you know, some of the resources that were available. So that was an interview form with that. But again, it was me filling in. It was saying, okay, this is what the topic is going to be. Why don't you answer these questions? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go on the air. I am remiss in, I need to give a layout to a young man who asked me, said that he was interested in possibly writing his story and being published. And I said, that's okay, I got you. I'm going to write this outline, and I haven't gotten around to it. Procrastination is a bad habit, I'm going to been trying to work through some of the different things, plans and things that I had. And one of them is becoming more organized. I always jokingly say that before I had kids, I was way more organized than I was. But I was real organized, but it still looked like things didn't get done because no matter the amount of organization, I was so organized that I did not never produce anything. And when I wrote my book, The Strength of Her Words, I didn't sit down. I'm going back to why I started this program, but I didn't sit down to write my book. I didn't sit down and say, you know what, I think I'm going to write a book one day, and here's the outline, things like that. That's not what happened. My book, The Strength of Her Words, came from I was in a, had a friendship with an individual who was in recovery. And so by this point, it was like 2002, 2003. I had been working at Work Release and Restitution Center at that point about 5 years. Then the first 2 years, I became very frustrated with the setup because I'm bored easily. And not bored in individual stories. Individual stories are very enlightening to me. But my boredom came from working on a mail unit and listening to individuals share the reason that they were incarcerated and hearing every excuse in the world possible and getting frustrated with the fact that they, why are they telling me this? Here I am, a female on a male unit primarily. And what I noticed is they would project their anger of their mother, anger of their girlfriend, anger of their wife, anger of their baby's mother, anger of the woman that broke their heart. All of that was projected onto me, and I was supposed to just either receive it or deflect it. And I would deflect it with anger, and at that point, I was real flipped with my mouth. And so I had began to pray about it, because any time that I'm dealing with an issue, I just go to God and say, I can't deal with it, can't handle it. God, you know, I'm trying to do the best that I can. I've got to eat. I need this job. I don't want to go back home. I don't want to deal with what I have to deal with when I get there. So, God, please help me. And he did. And so I have began to do a timeline with the guys when they would share their information, listening to the different patterns, picking up on the intricacies of their stories, even down to knowing when. I used to make a conscious effort not to say on this program. I thought that was, I needed to do that, and I do need to do that. That is a hesitation. But I would do the timeline, and I would hear the patterns down to them. They had various tics. People had tics, even myself, when you know that something is not quite honest. You would say, well, Melissa, your hesitation might be your dishonesty. No, the moment that I hesitate is because a lot of thoughts just flood in my brain all at one time. I want to get them out, but I breathe because I can't possibly say everything that comes to my mind all at once in this whole timeline business, as far as individuals and their patterns. But when they would tell the story, you know, you get the individuals that would say, well, to tell you the truth. Well, right there, they take a pause. And so I was able to pick up one anytime, and I would just listen for it because it would happen 3 times. And then I put a star by it. So I had completed my own timeline once that it was made complete to me. So I practiced it. God said, this is what I want you to do with this timeline. And I said, okay, God. He said, use what you already know. And so what I already knew was being born and raised, there's a personality development, and that was described in a list form by Eric Erickson. Yes, okay, but maybe he didn't look like me or sound like me, but it worked. So he had 8 stages, and I was able to apply different people that I knew in those stages and could kind of see where things would go wrong, things would go right, and so that became part of the pattern. And then I knew about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Anytime you read anything in business, it talks about people are motivated by whatever their need is. If your need is family, then you're motivated by that. If your need is survival, then you're motivated by that. So then that helped. And then the ABCs, which would create the key to the puzzle. And then God rested on the seventh day, so that gave me the parameters in which to listen. So I began to do my own timeline. And then the timeline itself morphed into a timeline for education, which my education timeline, my employment timeline, my relationship timeline look dramatically different. And then you could do a timeline of emotions, timeline of thought processes. When you in recovery, if you go to an NA or AA meeting and they talk about the fourth step, the timeline is a structured outline that can be used along with the fourth step in developing the fearless moral inventory. So you take inventory. So back to having this conversation with this man who was in recovery. And he said, Melissa, I feel like you had some struggles with your mother or women or abandonment or rejection, because my story is that I was adopted, and I was adopted twice. I was adopted. They couldn't take care of me because there was sickness in the home. So they took me back, and then I ended up in the home that I'm in now with my mother. And I'm only thinking about this because recently a person said to me that my mother is not my mother. She's not my blood. And that kind of hurt me. Even though I'll be 45, my birthday, it still bothers me that you would say that, because I've known no one other than her as to be my mother. I don't have any real good recollection of being any younger. But back to how did I end up on this broadcast and the outline and the format of it? Well, after I did the timeline, I sat down and wrote a book, and that's exactly how it happened. I sat down and wrote it. I didn't study for it. I already had different materials for it, and I sat down one morning. I called in. I didn't go to work, and I sat in front of my computer. I got my coffee. I drank it, went to the bathroom, came back and sat down, and 6 hours later, I don't even think I ate that day. I had produced a 75-page book with pictures of women in my life, and I had a picture from the ladies at my church. I had pictures of my grandmother and my mother, and I had some pictures of some other ladies that at that time were real relevant to me up until 2003. And then I wrote a story for each one of them about the difference that they made in my life, or how they affected me. The time that I wrote it, my grandmother was ill. I finished it. I published it. She read the manuscript of it. She died in July. I published in May. By May, I had published The Strength of Her Words. You can find it on Amazon.com. The Strength of Her Words. And it's Melissa Enid, because I was not married at that point. And that was exactly how I wrote the book. Now, if you go to different book writers or talk to any authors, they'll tell you about their writing process and how much time and energy and resources they put in it, and they have to write in a certain place and, you know, have certain pencils or things to write with, or write on a certain type of paper, and, you know, they have publishers and things like that. I didn't have any of that when I sat down to write the book. I wrote it and I published it, and I gave the majority of it away. Have no idea how it ended up at Amazon.com, because I didn't put it there, but it's there, and the cost of it is like $27. It's exciting. So I can say that I am a published author on Amazon.com, which I'm saying that because I go to this business meeting on Mondays, and there's a gentleman who made a statement one Monday and said that I'm the only published author in the room. And a lady that I usually sit with, she said, no, you're not the only one. Melissa here is published. Technically, I published before this gentleman did. Not this is a competition, but, you know, he had to say, oh, I had no idea. And then at that point, I thought I should just bring my stuff in, you know, highlight it, bring it back, things like that. And then I thought better about it. I was like, why do I need to do that? It's already done. I tell you, it's on Amazon.com. You look for it, you purchase it, you got it. I don't have to prove that to anybody. But when I decided to do this broadcast, it was the exact same process. I didn't sit down and say, you know what, I think that for the next year and a half or 2 years or two and a half on its way to, that I would have a broadcast to be helping individuals to deal with life on life's terms or education, enrichment, enlightenment, or to deal with any kind of topics related to drugs and alcohol or any of those things. I didn't sit down with that type of an outline. All I knew is I was informed that I listened to myself. I know if you don't know what you sound like, record yourself, sing, hear yourself, and then play it for yourself and then say, wow, that's pretty neat. You know, some people normally say, well, I don't know what I sound like. Just like they say they don't know what their own telephone numbers are. I don't know what I sound like. But what I do know is I was informed that I sound pretty good. If you listen back, then my husband was, you know, he had made a few recordings of me and he let me listen to them. And I said, well, I sound a little nasal, but I've kind of wrapped my head around that fact. And then that's, there I go. And then every week I would think about different things that I would see in individuals. And I would ask, you know, do you believe that you need counseling? And I try to convince people that, you know, I talk to my mother a lot. I need to give her a break. I talk to God a lot more than I did, which gives my mother a break. I talk kind of her with surface things, but usually takes God the more deeper things. I try to do better than that. Try not to worry my mother too much, but when I get frustrated and angry, and I really need to make a conscious effort to just turn it all over to God, try to hold on to some of it, try to process it myself. But as far as counseling goes, you know, God will do for you. I was sharing in group. I say, you know, God, in the Bible, it speaks about, and God gives the increase, but it says some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. It also gives a story about seeds and how they're planted in rocky soil, planted in sandy soil, planted in good soil. And then in the good soil, the seeds that are planted then will flourish and produce good fruit. And then there's another scripture that follows it up about what good fruit is. And it says that you don't get good fruit from bad trees or something to the bad. So that's a really bad paraphrase, but you all get the gist of it. And so why do you need a counselor? Well, you need someone to plant some seeds in your brain that will encourage you, and then someone else will come along and water it or add to it or encourage it, and then at the end of it all, God gives the increase, because if it's planted, but if it's soiled, if it's seeds that are planted in bad soil, no matter how much you water it, it's not going to produce good fruit, because it might not be good seed. And so as far as a counselor goes, you need someone. If your family allows you to be who you are and it doesn't promote you or it doesn't propel you, then they're your family and they love you and they don't want to hurt you, but you probably need someone else to do a better job about letting you know that there's some things that are acceptable and some things that are not. And then once you learn that, then someone else will come along and you'll wonder to yourself, wow, it's just amazing that they came along, but that's the watering. And then God will increase that and produce good fruit. And it's like Tuesday at work or all day long, if the whole day was connected. It was like I had a conversation and then I get to my office and then I'm in group and it's connected and it was about dealing with issues of betrayal, dealing with more surface things, dealing with more deeper things than just surface stuff. And it was off topic, but it was on topic because what we learned is, when things happen in a pattern, and it can be done individually and it can be done as a group, or it can be done individually and it can be fostered in a group, and you connect with whoever you connect with, and I was informed that some of that can't be taught. Like, you know, some people are either really good counselors or not. Some people are really good business people or not. Some people are really good at different things, and then some people are not. And they told me that, it's like, well, Melissa, you know, you do have this education and all of this, but your gift is from God. It is from not from anyone else. And I was reading, and the question was asked, it says that, well, I read a couple of things this week, and they all tie together, but it says that if you are anointed, why are you anointed, and what is your anointing for? It also, I was reading where it says that if it makes you feel, if it makes you feel differently, and if it brings, makes you want to draw nearer to God, then that is, if the music you listen to brings you nearer to God, makes you reflect, okay, but if it makes you feel lustful or sensual or something like that, it was an individual that was writing and was saying how, says when Satan becomes the praise and worship leader, and it was coming against in some of the individuals who have made gospel music a business. It's just like counseling being made a business. And I said out loud before, and I'll say it again, what I'm doing with this program, what I do in my office, what I do, I would do paid or not. My desire is for individuals to live a life more abundantly. And if God has gifted me with numerous gifts, he's gifted me with the gift of wisdom, he's gifted me with the gift of knowledge, he's gifted me with the gift of being able to teach or instruct. If he's given me those things, then I must do them. I must. It's not even a suggestion. I have to use my gifts to bring people closer to God by any means necessary, and I would be willing to do that. My only prayer is that God continues to provide for me and my family, as he said in Deuteronomy 26 or 28, where he says, blessings for my whole family, blessings for my children, blessings for my mother, blessings for my friends, blessings for my business, blessings for the people who come into my business, blessings for any every person, blessing in my going in and blessing in my coming out. But there's an if-then criteria, and he says, if I follow the commandments and do it, and basically do what he has ordered me to do, then all of those blessings will come. If I don't do that, then they will not. Plain and simple, there's no gray. It's all black and white. And so I must do that. And so when I sat down, I didn't sit down to do it. I learned about Blog Talk Radio. I learned that it was a forum. I've utilized it to market, but more importantly, that it highlights the fact that here lies a forum where you are able to understand that there are areas that you might not be able to deal with, and that you might have to reach outside of yourself in order to find the resources that you need in order to gain that information that will provide that education that will help you to realize that you have a value no matter where you are in your station of life, and that once you accomplish or achieve that, then you become enlightened, and your enlightenment will cause you to want to share that knowledge and information with others. And so that goes back to BET Awards I watched on Sunday. And Jesse Williams, and everybody's talking, his light skin, dark skin, his mom is white, who is he talking to, why is he talking to us, what is he talking about? Then there's other people that are saying, well, people have been talking about that, even myself, but the whole being enlightened is waking up and having an understanding, and I get it, and anyone else that has awakened gets it. And there's really no excuse to not be awake. I mean, the handwriting, like with Nebuchadnezzar, one of those kings in the Bible, the handwriting was on the wall, and it told us plainly what it was, you know. And it tells us in the word what it's going to be. And we're seeing the manifestations of that now. And you know, they say, well, you know, is there an afterlife? You know, is there a God? You don't even have to ask that question. The question that you want to ask is, have you taken the information that you've learned about yourself and about others? Has it become valuable And do you realize the value of it? And are you sharing the value? Are you providing those resources? And are you promoting it? Are you sharing the story? Are you letting people know about it? And if you're hiding it, then it's not indifferent to hiding it under a rock, like the gentleman with the talents that buried it. It's not indifferent to good seeds in bad soil being planted somewhere else and being washed away or burning up. It's not indifferent to anything. We got all the examples that we need for that. And so talk with Trinity, and I encourage people to call in. And oftentimes they don't call in, but they have an opportunity to do so and to share about their own different organizations and agencies. But our time is drawing near. We just want to thank God for this opportunity to kind of just have free thought. And we just pray that you just continue to bless us and keep us safe as we go in our travels. And dear God, just allow us to continue to use the wisdom, knowledge, and instruction that you've given us to just glorify you. You're welcome to contact me, Melissa Trinity Counseling, at gmail.com. And the show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 282-06-704-333-2446 and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Have a blessed day and be safe.